I'll tell you what, you know you're talking to a trusting guy when halfway through a conversation on a radio program being aired on 500 affiliates nationwide, he starts giving his phone number out. Oh, Bob. welcome back. Okay. So, Bob, there's a number of things. I want to finish up with this. I mean, so far, that wouldn't have turned you from U.S. military to ET, not getting a rejection slip, in essence, from NID saying it's terrestrial in origin or something. That wouldn't have done it. So what did?
Well, when they told me all this at Los Alamos, now the reason I went to Los Alamos was I still didn't know what to do.
Well, did you call Los Alamos?
No, what I did was I sent a picture and the story of my encounter to Unsolved Mysteries.
Ah.
And so they asked me if I would be willing to send the piece to Los Alamos, and I said, absolutely not. I'm not going to let it on my side. So they make a long story short, they paid for my expenses there.
Smart move, Bob.
And for the analysis.
Smart.
And I said, I won't let it out of my sight.
Right.
And then the scientists out there, it really shook me up when they wouldn't touch it. And
Did they at all indicate why they were hesitant to touch
it?
No,
they didn't.
No, huh?
No. But they had to cut a piece off of the big end for some reason. Oh, I know why now. I found out later. But it's just a long, long story. So many things have happened. What we did was I let them take a piece of it. It took them quite a while to cut it with a water saw.
Well, some analysis is destructive, Bob. There's no question about it.
Well, they couldn't get the equipment in the piece into the equipment. It was too large.
Well, there's that, and they need very tiny samples to do. I gave some of Art's parts, and they the same deal. It's destructive. I mean, you don't get it back.
Oh, they took the piece off the big inch, which is about 3 inches in diameter and about an inch thick. Mm-hmm. And I found out later, don't need that much.
And so at the end of the day, one of the scientists there told you it was not of this earth.
I had to go back to Missouri, and I asked them how long it would take to get an analysis. They said they couldn't do it in one day.
Right.
And they said he said 3 or 4 days, yeah. The scientist. And if this is in my sworn affidavit in my polygraph exam.
I was going to get to that. I mean, you're in conflict with one of the scientists, and so you were
right.
Given a lie detector examination.
Yes.
Who did that?
George Larby, Captain George Larby, he's still with the Springfield Sheriff's Department.
Now, is this something you volunteered for?
Yes. Yes, I did two of them.
Two lie detectors.
And I passed both of them.
Okay. Was it, at whose behest was it?
The first time was my board of directors at the museum. We're a nonprofit, 501c3.
Right.
And they insisted that I tell the truth. They wanted to be certain that I was telling the truth.
Sure.
And so they took me to their friend, or an acquaintance that they knew. I didn't know him, but he did polygraph tests for the Springfield Police Department for 28 years.
Gotcha.
And he did not believe in UFOs.
Gotcha.
Well, I passed that one.
Out of curiosity, I mean, once you're strapped in taking a lie detector test, was there any reaction from the person giving the test when you passed?
Absolutely.
He
wouldn't discuss it with me. He discussed it with the others, and from what they've told me, and this is hearsay, what they told me was he said, this man was the most honest man I ever talked to.
Uh-huh. But such thing would certainly on the person giving the test have some large effect. I mean, if they regarded you as that honest, then what you said was the truth spilling out. So,
well, he said that as far as I was concerned, I was telling the truth.
Right. Gotcha.
Whether this really happened or not, I thought it happened.
Right. Understood. And
so
you then took a second one somehow, right?
Well, the reason I took the second one was years later.
Yes.
They called me from UK. Flame TV, and wanted to know if I would be interested in doing a TV show for England,
right.
That will not be shown over here. And as long as they paid all the expenses, I said, sure, you know, the world should know about this.
Okay.
And so they insisted that I take another polygraph test, and believe it or not, it was another police officer.
It's totally believable. They get a lot of them. And so away you went again.
Right.
And passed the second one with flying colors.
Yes, and this one was a lot more detailed questions.
All right, but again, getting to the part where you went from thinking it might be military to believing extraterrestrial,
right.
it was what? The scientist there that did it, or what?
One scientist.
One scientist who said...
He told me that to be 3 or 4 days before they could get an analysis.
Right.
It was 3 or 4 weeks. And I had his phone number at home, and I was anxious, and I called him at home.
Uh-huh.
And he blurted it out. He said, "This is something that I've been looking for all my life. It's definitely extraterrestrial." So naturally, I didn't know anyone was going to deny it or lie about it. I went around telling my friends and everybody else that this guy said it was extraterrestrial.
You probably thought, "Boy, I've hit the jackpot."
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, I thought the whole world was going to know about it. I thought, "Boy, this will make the mainstream media, and everybody will know that that there is something else out there besides us."
Bob, there's one other, well, more than one, but one important question I want to ask, and maybe there's nothing to this, but in so many cases of close encounters like the one you had, people end up with missing time. I wonder, during this whole encounter thing, was there any distortion of time or any missing time that either Jan or yourself noted?
No.
All right. How did it end up with Jan? I mean, you guys were on your way to Las Vegas, and you had this experience. After this experience, did you just continue on your way with this in the trunk, or how did it end up with Jan?
Well, I can't say, I can't malign someone else. Let's just say that we partied company the first night in Las Vegas, and I came back on the bus.
And you came back on the bus?
Yes. And the first person to laugh at me and ask me how much I had to drink or what was I smoking was my brother.
Well, let's see if we can broadly ask about this. Did you have more than a casual relationship with Jan?
No,
no,
I didn't.
You didn't.
But she did with someone else.
Uh-huh. And so there was a disagreement of some sort that developed.
I didn't like what she was doing.
I see.
I had nothing to do with her intimately.
Right, but somebody else.
What she was doing involved me, and it didn't look good.
Okay, and so you freaked out and headed back from Las Vegas,
right,
with the piece in tow.
Right.
And you kept it to yourself, I take it.
Yes.
Okay, so there's where we leave Jan in the wind.
Right.
So Jan's out there somewhere.
Yes.
Usually when an experience like this occurs, and you get back in the car, and you're on your way to Las Vegas,
right,
two people would normally sit and talk about what just happened to them.
We did. When we stopped at this little diner, we were talking about it, and there was only two tables in this diner right behind the counter.
Right.
And behind us. And we were talking about it at the counter. And one of the guys got up and came up to me, and he said, "You people saw something out there tonight, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah, we saw some lights." And he said,